Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Straight Out of Left Field. I'm your host, Jack Pollard, as usual. This is our fourth or fifth episode of our first series. And today, I want to cover the unwritten rules of baseball. I think one of the most annoying things I find when I watch baseball or I read or listen about baseball is these unwritten rules that seem to, I feel, plague games. I don't think they're, to be honest, I don't think they're in the nature of the sport, the national pastime. And I want to go into a little bit of depth in this slightly shorter show today about the about these rules. And we'll go through them one by one, give you some examples. Give you some examples, and we can decide for ourselves, really, if they are, if they're in the spirit of the game, if they should be there, or if they shouldn't. And just to give you kind of a heads up, I'm not a big fan of many of them. I think they cause injuries. I think they detract from the spirit of the game. I think they're an unnecessary burden on teams who have got hundreds of millions of dollars at stake, trying to pander to pathetic rules, unwritten rules. Anyway, so let's jump right in there. I want to bring you back to when Zach Greinke first still played with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they were playing the San Francisco Padres. This was a couple of years ago, and Carlos Quentin charged the mound. And at that time, the San Francisco Padres outfielder caught Greinke in the shoulder with his elbow, and broke his collarbone. He was out for quite a while, all because Greinke had hit him with a pitch, as retribution for an earlier hit by pitch from another Dodgers pitcher. A Padres pitcher had hit a Dodger, and then Greinke followed up with some retribution. And this is where I first want to start. This is the first unwritten rule that I think is absolutely ridiculous, and that's this retaliation of hit by pitches. Now, I understand if it's an intentional hit by pitch, and we'll go into that in a second, why that's ridiculous. But I think the whole idea that you should retaliate because your teammate's been hit is absurd, in my opinion. I think, first of all, it gets your pitcher thrown out of the game if it's obvious retaliation. Second of all, it can start a fight, like it did with Greinke, and you end up with a broken collarbone, like Greinke. That's two reasons. And also, I think third, it sets the wrong precedent for kids playing the game as well, who see that their stars, throwing at each other intentionally. I think for those three reasons, really, the whole idea of having, I understand that you got to protect your teammates, but I think if you can, by protecting your teammates, I don't think if someone's going to throw at someone intentionally, they probably don't care too much about the teammate who's going to have to get it in the next inning. So I think it's a ridiculous thing to do, to retaliate against the hit by pitch. You can actually never, to be honest, I'd say 90% of the time, you can't be certain if it was intentional or not. I think it was highlighted last night. Last night, the Tigers and the Yankees went at it three times. It was four separate hit by pitches. Four separate guys got plunked. But only two of them, I think, were probably intentional. It was two or three of them probably were intentional, but one of them wasn't intentional. But one of them caught was the Betances' fastball up and into Matt Hook, which hit him in the head. It was James McCann. And that was, it looked as probably as intentional as it can get. If it wasn't 6-6 on the scoreboard at the time, you'd probably think that's definitely intentional, and he could have ended his career. But it wasn't intentional. I think both managers agreed it wasn't intentional. but it looked pretty obvious. So I don't think you can ever be 100% that it wasn't indeed intentional, or 100% of the time. So I think the idea that pitchers should retaliate and risk being thrown out of the game to the detriment of their own team is ridiculous. And I think if you are managing, you have to say, okay, well, we are going to protect our players, but we're not going to throw back at them. You know, you're lowering yourself to their level, and you're going to cause fights. And maybe you're not going to protect your players. You're actually going to involve them in fracases, and fisticuffs for no particular reason. So we got, there's probably about 15 of these here. Staying on with pitchers and being hit with pitchers, I think the idea that this ridiculous unwritten rule that if a guy is beating up on you, or he's hit you, he's hit a lot of home runs off you, like Sanchez and last night with Michael Fulmer, I think there's this ridiculous idea. And I think with another scenario with the Mets and the Brewers a few years ago, with when David Wright was taken out of the lineup because the Mets pitcher just hit Ryan Braun for no apparent reason except he was hitting really well against them. This ridiculous, almost unwritten rule that if you're doing really well, you're probably more likely to get hit intentionally, almost to kind of keep you grounded. Almost, I think that's another ridiculous thing that pitchers do, that they hit batters who are hot almost intentionally, which means that their opponent is going to get, you know, you hit our guy, we're going to hit your guy, kind of thing. I think that's a ridiculous thing. I think it's almost, if not more ridiculous than pitchers retaliating and hitting batters. And look, pitchers retaliating, that was the reason why David Wright, in this incident a few years ago against the Brewers, was taken out of the lineup by his manager because they just hit Ryan Braun. So they made, and he was afraid that in the next inning the Brewers were going to hit David Wright, who at the time was the Mets star. You know, it's just ridiculous. Kids have come to the ballpark to see David Wright hit. So you're taking him out of the lineup, and this, you know, baseball's losing him for that night because some pitcher's gone and hit a batter intentionally. I think the intentional hit by pitch is one of the most ridiculous things, ridiculous unwritten rules in baseball. And I think Major League Baseball hasn't been harsh enough. I think 5 games, which is one start for a starting pitcher, is nowhere near enough. And I think if you're intentionally throwing at someone when you have the potential, you know, look at the guy, he's Greenberg, who got hit in the head when in his first at bat for the Miami Marlins, I think it was, and that ended his career. You know, getting hit in the head with a pitch can end your career. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that that's allowed to happen, and baseball is so lenient on it. So yeah, intentional hit by pitches, that's the first kind of unwritten rule that I have a major problem with. I think Major League Baseball has failed to protect hitters, especially good hitters, from that. The second one I have is stealing in a game, and stealing when you're winning by a lot of runs, or you're losing by a lot of runs, there's this idea that you're not allowed to steal, and if you do steal, you get hit. So Nigel Morgan, he was you would have remembered him if you watched the Brewers and the Nationals. He was in the National League in 2010, 2011, 2012. He was a fast, quick center fielder. He got on base. He was playing for the Washington Nationals in 2010. And he got on base. It was 15-3, I think it was, in Miami's favor, and he stole 2 bases. Very next at bat, he gets hit. Now, yeah, it's probably a little bit naive to steal a base when you're down by so many runs. But if you're the opposition, I think you have to take that for granted. You have to say, look, you're giving us an opportunity to end this inning even quicker. Just because your offense has gone and scored 15 runs doesn't mean your starting pitcher then gets to relax and say, oh, well, I've walked him. I don't have to hold him on. You know, I don't have to hold that runner on. He's not going to steal because the lead is so big. I think that's not how the game is meant to be played. The game is meant to be played hard. The game is meant to be played 100% every time. And, you know, the pitcher shouldn't just be able to get away with pitching out of the stretch with runners on base. Unless it's the ninth inning, you know, that's, and there's, it's a defensive indifference, you know. So he, Nigel Morgan, got hit. He charged the mound. He charged the mound in an 11-run deficit. That's what it was. So it was 15-4 because he stole two bases. Now, yeah, I think it's naive on his part to steal bases. I don't think it's the right place to steal them. But you should not be retaliated against if you do so. I think you should just be smirked at, to be honest. And, you know, a lot of guys' careers, Nigel Morgan's was getting paid predominantly for his speed at the time. So, you know, a couple of extra bases goes a long way, probably. You know, a couple of extra bases here and there. Say you get 10 extra bases. That could be the difference between you getting, you know, for Nigel Morgan, for instance, maybe getting 10 or 11 or $12 million per year on a new contract if he's a free agent that year. So I think it's absolutely ridiculous that's another rule. You see in baseball now with the rise of the home run and more leads being chased back. I think I can remember in the AL East, the Orioles dropping a 9-run lead against the Yankees earlier in the year. Now, if you stole a base with 9 runs, within 9 runs down, you get hit. You get intentionally hit by a pitcher for being unsportsmanshiply. That's ridiculous. You know, 9 runs is an achievable score to chase down now, because so many guys can hit the ball so far. And even if they're not hitting it out, they're hitting it off the wall. That stolen base means that he's definitely scoring from second and not having a close play at home. You know, I think that the idea that you cannot steal with down 8 runs or up 8 runs is ridiculous. No lead is safe. So to get angry like the Boston Red Sox did with Yunel Escobar a couple of years ago when he stole third base with 2 outs in a 8-3 game that the Rays were winning, I think it was either the Rays were winning or losing. That's ridiculous. You know, maybe there's a wild pitch and he scores because of, you know, that's absolutely ridiculous. To be honest, in my opinion, that he's denied doing that, and then the bench is clear. And there could be potential injuries because of that. So, again, that's one that I don't agree with. That's one that I don't agree with. I think you should be able to steal a base whenever you want. Now, there's another unwritten rule here that I've written down. That's pitching inside or pitching close, hard inside when you have a large lead. And to go back to another Tiger fracas, Rondon, their big power closer, or he's not closer anymore, but he was his setup man. He was throwing inside to Mike Moustakas earlier in this year, and he hit him. He threw two pitches inside, and he hit him with a big lead. And I think that was pretty unnecessary. I think if you're pitching really tight inside, unless you've got very good control, I don't think you should do it with a big lead, because you know, I think it was late in the game. He hit him. It may have been intentional, it may not have been. But I think, yes, and again, you probably say, well, look, no lead is safe, he should be pitching tight every time. But I think there probably does come a point, and then look, I might be contradicting myself, saying that stealing's, you shouldn't be able, you should, I've already said that stealing should be okay. But Rondon, he really kind of, problem was that Mike Moustakas, I think he had a big night already. Rondon's got pretty poor control. And I think to risk hitting Moustakas is just a recipe for disaster, to be honest. And I think if you're Tigers, I don't think you shouldn't be allowed to do it, but I think Mike Moustakas had every right to approach the mound. I'll put it that way. So that unwritten rule, yeah, I think he's well within his right to get very angry if you are getting hit in a game, you know, you're getting pitched in tight in a game that you're quite far ahead in. There's plenty of other ways to get someone out without having to pitch in and potentially hit someone in a game that is less likely, let's put it that way, to result in a Tigers victory. I think it was in the ninth, the eighth inning, and they were winning by 7 runs or something. So, again, I don't think it should be a certainty. No, you should not pitch inside. But again, I think in that situation, it has to be a little bit more nuanced in your approach to that. And you say, okay, well, if he does hit him, Mike Moustakas has every right to get very angry and potentially put Rondon at risk, put himself. But then again, it puts Moustakas at risk. So I say that intentional being hit. No, that's a rule that I think is ridiculous. Like 5 out of 5, ridiculous. I think stealing in the large run game, I think, is 4 out of 5, ridiculous. And I think pitching inside with a large lead, is probably three out of five, ridiculous. To be honest, I would agree with it, but I wouldn't. Again, I think he'd have every right to approach the mound like he did if he was being pitched inside. My fourth one on the list is reacting to getting out. And this is one that CC Sabathia and Jackie Bradley Jr. have illustrated this year and last year quite well. And also Madison Bumgarner and Yasiel Puig as well have illustrated this quite well. And this is where when a hitter, say, pops up instead of hitting a home run that they felt they deserved, or striking out on a pitch that wasn't a strike, or striking out a pitch they felt they should have hit, they react, you know, they swear, they curse, they chuck their bat. And I think and the pitchers get upset, they think, oh, well, he's not giving me credit for a good pitch, or he's not giving me credit, he's showing me up, you know, he's saying that my stuff isn't very good, and he should have hit that a long way. And I think to a certain extent, again, I think this is an unwritten rule that is a little, I think it's probably 2 out of 5, ridiculous. I think there is a stage, you know, where if a pitcher is throwing a good pitch and a batsman reacts to it and reacts poorly, like he should have hit it miles, I think that is a little bit, again, you can fully understand where a pitcher is coming from when he gets angry. And he has every right to, I think he probably has every right, you know, if you're saying that his stuff isn't very good and you should have hit it a long way, unless you're a very, very, very good hitter, you know, Yasiel Puig, his batting average isn't exactly tremendous. Yeah, that's probably crossing the line a little bit. And I think you should probably expect some. There's some pitchers who probably rise above it. I don't really care. But if you do have a pitcher like Justin Verlander or Madison Bumgarner, who, you know, are very passionate people, then you can fully understand why they feel that they're being shown up, and that can cause some problems. So, I think I understand that unwritten rule. I think that's fair enough. I think that's fair enough. This is one that probably is starting to go away. And there used to be a stage where, you know, swinging 3-0 with a big lead was a bad thing. Yeah, we're like, oh, why are you trying to swing 3-0? Because I'm just gonna throw you one down the middle anyway. You know, it's kind of cheating almost. Take the pitch. You're losing by so much. You know, why do you feel that you need to hit a huge home run off me, kind of thing. But that's I haven't seen that off recently. I haven't seen that in quite a while. I think it's much more common than it has ever been to swing 3-0. People are not taking 3-0 pitches. That's because of the rise of sabermetrics. Batsmen now knowing that they have better chance of getting on base or getting a hit if they swing it a fastball down the middle and taking the 3-1 pitch, making it 3-1, taking it to 3-2, and then maybe getting out, striking out, something like that. I think with the rise of sabermetrics, swinging 3-0 is no longer such a big deal, to be honest. So I think that rule, that old unwritten rule, I think you could say, is starting to die away. Now, this is what I do have a problem with, and this is the home run trot. And I think if you hit a home run, you can look at it, and you can, if it's a really big home run, like a walk-off home run, okay, fair enough, game's over, game's finished, you can celebrate, great, good you. But I think what Joey Bautista did in the ALCS and what he did against the Twins last couple of years ago, where he stood, he watched it, he chucked the bat away. I think this is a decent unwritten rule. I don't think this is too ridiculous, to be honest. I think this is fair enough. I think you should be able. You know, I think there was a time where Jose Fernandez hit a home run and he watched it, and I think that's fair. You know, he's a pitcher; it's probably the only home run he's ever going to hit, so he can look at it. But when Joey Bautista, who hits lots of home runs, hits a big 3-run home run, for instance, to break the game open, I think watching it and flinging the bat away over your shoulder and making it look like it's such a huge deal, you know, and that it required so much effort to do, and how great you are, or how you should have done that, maybe, I think that's overdoing it and overcooking it a little bit. I think you have to have a sense of modesty. You know, there's a guy on the mound who's just given up a 3-run home run and whose ERA's jumped. You don't need to rub it in anymore. And I think the animosity that he got from doing that, he's probably learned from. I'm sure he'll tell you that he wouldn't change it for a thing. But I understand. I think the home run trot needs to, you know, you can't walk along the bases and really rub it in. But at the same time, you should be able to look at it. You should be able to maybe drop the bat kind of in a fancy way, but not in a way that, you know, really over-eggs it. So I think that's a fair enough rule, you know, the kind of the whole idea about the bat flip and the trot. But because things like the bat flip are becoming a little bit more common, I think people are getting away with a little bit more. So the rule is not as important as it probably used to be. Now, this is another interesting one, is the showing up of your own pitcher. And this is something that Yoenis Cespedes got a lot of attention for recently, when he didn't even look when Aaron Judge hit a home run up into the third deck off a rookie, I can't remember his name, and in the Subway Series. And this is something that it doesn't happen so much now. But again, pitchers, old school pitchers, really don't appreciate this. And this is probably something you don't see too much on the television, and it's not going to start a brawl because they're on the same team. But this is, I think, it's a fair enough rule. I think if the ball is hit into the third deck, it's not the outfielder's fault that it's not caught, right? So don't criticize. I think what happened to Cespedes, you know, the whole thing about him not even looking where the ball landed. Okay, fair enough. He's probably looking for a bit of attention there, and because you probably do want to see where it landed. But the whole idea that you should get in trouble for if the ball has really been smacked, you know, and it's not just dunked into the first row, but it's really been hit, and there are balls you hit where you know straight off the bat that it's gone. I don't care what the fielder has to do. The pitcher should have made a better pitch. So I think that unwritten rule about, you know, outfielders showing up pitchers on long home runs is ludicrous, to be honest. They can do whatever they want. The pitcher should have made a better pitch. That's my opinion. But yeah, maybe pitcher would prefer outfielder to jog over to the wall as if they could have a chance of catching it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how far it went, it's still a home run. So you shouldn't worry too much about that. I think that's a ridiculous idea, and the commentators always bring it up when there's a long home run. I think that's ridiculous. Another one that I really don't like, I think this is five stars out of five stars for ludicrous, ridiculous, crazy, whatever you want to call it, is this. And this, you know, again, this is contentious, but bunting on a no-hitter or a perfect game. I think a good example is Curt Schilling had a perfect game. I think it was in the ninth inning, broken up by I think it was a Rocky by the name of Davis, but I could be wrong. He might have been pitching for the Rockies. I know Curt Schilling had a game broken up, a perfect game broken up, and there's been a few others. I think Scherzer had a perfect game broken up by a guy leaning in on the plate to get on base. And I think, yeah, if as long as the game is now, I think with Scherzer, you know, I think the game was like 3-0, so it was quite close. And if you want to lean in and you want to get hit and you want to take that hit and you want to take the pain that hit probably comes with, it's up to the umpire to call. I think that guy, I can't remember his name, but Scherzer definitely last year lost a no-hitter because some guy leaned into a pitch and got hit with it. Now, these guys are paid millions of dollars to get on base and score runs. Yes, it's harsh the way that it was lost, but he got on base. He gave his team an opportunity to score some runs. It's unfortunate that it was in a perfect game or a no-hitter, but I think personally that's too bad. I think it's up to the umpire then. It's your umpire's problem if someone's leaning in to get a hit. Same thing with bunting. Again, if it's a perfect, if you're throwing a perfect game through 6 innings or 5 innings or even 9 innings, it's your job to get on base. You're not going to say to some very fast person, you know, who's probably, look at, and remember the likelihood of a bunt succeeding, I would bet, is probably the same as you swinging the bat. You know, you see a lot of times where someone tried to bunt and it doesn't work. So, and you know, you shouldn't have to defend against just because you're pitching well doesn't mean you then have to defend against just swings, you know. Just because you're pitching well doesn't mean that some guy's tools in his arsenal get taken off him. So you can bunt on a, I have no problem with you bunting with a no-hitter happening. I think it's harsh, but I don't really have a problem with it. If it happens, then too bad. Your third baseman should have known that he was a bunt. He was in a risk of having a bunting, or your catcher should have been up on his heels, ready for you him for the bunt. You know, just because your pitcher's pitching well, it's the same thing happening with the stealing. Just because your pitcher's pitching well doesn't mean he gets to have freebies. You know, doesn't mean he gets to take away some of the arsenal. So bunting with a no-hitter, no problem. The one I do have a problem with is sliding into, because of the new slide rules. This is another rule. Because of the, another unwritten rule, because of the new slide rule. So moving on, bunting with a no-hitter, fair enough. Sliding into a base. Now, when you're sliding to second base, now there's new slide rules, so it's more difficult to have a rash slide into second base. But I think if you are out and you are a long way out, the likelihood of you breaking that play up is minute, right? So I think, should you be allowed to slide in heavily into second base to try to break up a throw? Okay, with the old ruling, yes. With the new ruling, now that a fair slide is to the base and not through the base. Now, I do not think that you should be able to aggressively slide into the base against the ruling to try and break up a play. And this is you know, sliding has always been a dangerous and contentious area. You know, Pete Rose versus the Mets, I can think of. I can think of Joey Bautista versus Rougned Odor. There's been a lot of incidences where sliding into second base has got you in trouble. I think with the new slide play and the new slide rules, you know, like them or not, I'm not a big fan of them. I think it's taking a little bit away from the game, although I think they weren't too far. That's not the point. The point is that the rules are you cannot slide past the base. Oh, you can slide past the base, but you can't. You have to be within contact with the base. So as long as you're within contact with the base, I don't care how you slide in. So I don't think with the new rule clarification, that shouldn't be too much of an issue. Throwing anything but fastballs to a pitcher, this rule again, like, so what? If a relief pitcher is, especially if a relief pitcher is hitting, so if a relief pitcher has had to come into the game to hit, there's this kind of unwritten rule that you throw him fastballs, and if you get him out with a curveball, it's kind of like dirty play. Again, you know, why just because the batter is not very good, does that mean that you have to limit what you throw him? You know, is there something you can draw a line? Like, does that mean that if a replacement player comes in, or if it's past September and there's some AAA kid in there just for speed, and he comes up to bat, you have to throw him fastballs too? You know, is it just for relievers? What happens if it's a starting pitcher? What happens if Bartolo Colon comes up to the plate? You gonna throw him just fastballs? What happens if he comes up to the plate and the base is loaded, and he just accidentally hits one into center field for a base hit? You know, what happens then? Yeah. So, yeah, throwing anything but fastballs to the pitcher, again, another ridiculous rule that you don't usually, that's not a very contentious rule. You don't usually see too many things getting in trouble for that. The last one we have here before we finish up is stepping on a pitcher's mound. And Dallas Braden played for the Oakland A's in 2009. Alex Rodriguez stepped on the mound when he was jogging back from first base. He just hit a fly ball to right field, I think it was. And he was jogging back to the opposition's dugout. He stepped on the pitcher's mound, which is meant to be the sacred place. And they exchanged words. My quick opinion on this, just before we go off air, if you're not messing with the mound, you know, you're not scraping some holes in it, who cares where you stand? Just, yeah, don't go up on the top of the mound. Don't scrape it away. But if you touch the side of the mound, like, so what? You know, that's a bit petty, I think. But again, that's not too important an issue. And that's one you luckily don't see very often. So I hope this has given you some food for thought. I hope next time you see one of these rules, you have either a better interpretation, or maybe come to your own conclusions about which unwritten rules, if any, should still be in the game of baseball. So I've been Jack Pollard. This has been Straight Out of Left Field. And join us next week for another episode. Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.